So this morning, as I get started, I'm wondering what this past week has been like for you. Have you been in any situations where you needed something and you needed to ask somebody for it? Or has somebody had to ask you for something? Have you lost or misplaced something where you needed to turn things a bit upside down to find them? Maybe you've lost your keys or a notebook, or you've lost something and you just had to really look for it? Have you knocked on any doors or rung a doorbell, made a phone call, sent a text, and someone actually opened the door, or they answered the phone, or they responded to your text? Or has someone knocked on your door, rung your doorbell, phoned you, sent you a text message, and you opened the door? You answered the phone, or you replied with a text message. I mean, isn't life just like that? We need something, we ask. We look for it, we call. Our kids, they need something from us. Maybe a coworker needs something from us. A friend needs something. And so they ask. They look to us to help. They knock on our door. They call. And as it is, if we are able, what do? We give them what they need. We help them out. We open the door. We answer the phone. Or if it's the other way around, we give, or they give us what we need. They help us out. They open the door. They answer the phone. Now, at this point in the teaching, Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, those who are listening to this sermon, and we've been going at it for a number of weeks already, as they've been listening, they have realized that Jesus is calling them to a whole new way of living. He is calling them to live differently, to think differently, to see differently, to set their priorities in a different way, to live out the law in a different way. And without rehashing and going through everything that Jesus has said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, if these listeners have paid attention to any part of what Jesus was teaching, the listener had to realize that the kingdom that Jesus was inviting them to experience was the dawning of a new day. He was inviting them to something new. He was inviting them to a deep relationship, a relationship where God was not just kind of up there on the throne, and that they were just kind of living their lives in such a way to follow a list of rules and regulations, but he was inviting them into a relationship with the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son, a relationship where Jesus Christ was the ruler of their hearts and the ruler of all that they were. They were not to live by a set of rules and laws, but to live lives that were filled full with God's love. And in that way, they could fulfill the law. He had encouraged them in this sermon to seek God first in all things, not trusting in and not serving in serving material things as a way of life. He talked about giving and praying and fasting to an audience of one, not just to show how religious you could be. He's talked about seeing things, about judging, about discerning with new eyes, with a new heart. This new way of life, it was not an easy way. Excuse me. It called for hard choices. It calls for a deep level of trust in God. It calls for setting aside of the old and inviting God to do something new in our hearts and lives. And so at this point in their listening, the disciples, those who were there, who were gathered around, you could not fault them for feeling a little bit overwhelmed. You could not fault them for feeling like, oh man, this too? I got to change this too? I mean, how are we supposed to do all this? They might have been asking. How are we supposed to live this way? I mean, what kind of people do you think we are? Is it possible that with all this challenge in the Sermon on the Mount and all the things that Jesus has been talking about, about what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, that they might have felt a little bit weighed down, maybe a little bit overwhelmed, feeling perhaps like, you know, we don't have what it takes to do this. We do not have what it takes to live in this way. And then Jesus, at this point in the sermon, he answers this feeling. It's almost like he's reading their minds. I mean, he is God, so he's probably reading their minds at some level. But he gets how they're feeling, overwhelmed. It's like, oh man, how are we going to do this? How are we going to live this way? And Jesus answers these words, this feeling with these words. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. It's in your notes. You can follow along. But there it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If you've been around the church for any amount of time, you've probably heard these words before. You've probably seen them on a plaque somewhere. Maybe that you have this plaque on your wall in your kitchen or somewhere at home as well. They're usually referenced as an encouragement to us to be persistent in prayer. And no doubt this is a big part of what Jesus' words are meant to do. They are very clearly an encouragement for us to pray. And I don't want to take away from that at all. But I believe there is something even deeper and stronger in these words than an encouragement just to keep on praying. Especially when you consider the context of where they are in this sermon. It is nearing the end. And yes, there has been a lot shared in this body of teaching. And as I said earlier, there were and are some hard choices to make. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount. You can't listen to these words without saying, oh, I've got to choose between this and that. That's a hard choice. There are hard choices in this teaching. It's easy to see why the disciples might feel kind of overwhelmed with this life that they're being called to, a life that we're being called to as Christ's followers. And he invites them to ask for help. Jesus invites them. And this, with these words, it's like he's saying, I know how you feel. Here's what you need to do about it. Ask for help. They do not need to trust in their own resources or in their own ability to get this done. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. And even though they may have little faith, or their faith in light of all that they have heard may be weak, and they may say, oh, I don't have that kind of faith. My faith is not strong enough to make those kinds of choices. Jesus uses something that is very natural and very normal. The picture of a child asking a father or mother for bread. And in using this picture, he reminds them that asking bears witness to faith. Take everything else with you from today, but don't forget to take this. Asking bears witness to faith. How does this picture of a child asking for bread or a fish bear witness to faith? Let's put a magnifying glass on this child and his ask for bread. First of all, it bears witness to faith because it shows faith in the relationship. Faith in the relationship. When I ask you for something that I need, it presumes that I am comfortable enough in this relationship that I am not ashamed to ask. Does that make sense? Like if I ask you for something and I am making myself somewhat vulnerable, because you could say no, you could say yes, you could say maybe, you could say wait, you could say all kinds of things. But I am admitting to you, I have a need. I am making myself vulnerable, and I trust you. I have faith in that relationship that I can ask you, and you know, whatever you're going to respond, I'm good with that. The son in this example is comfortable asking for bread or for fish. In fact, he is not ashamed of asking. He has faith in the relationship that exists between himself and his father or his mother. You see, he's not ashamed because something has been invested in this relationship over time. There's a track record. There's a past. I mean, whenever this son has been hungry in the past, he's asked for bread, and there has been bread. I mean, when he was a child, a helpless baby, he didn't know what to say. He nursed at his mother's breast. Whenever he cried out for food, his mother was there. There's a track record there. As he grew, he continued to ask because he knew where to go. Somehow food came when he was hungry and he asked. And so the son asks for bread. He asks for fish because he has faith in this relationship. I trust my parents to give me what I need. They've always taken care of my needs, and I trust that they will continue to do so. Therefore, I will keep asking for bread whenever I am hungry. Asking bears witness to faith. Here, the son has faith in the relationship because he knows there's a relationship there. I ask for bread, and it shows up. Asking bears witness to faith in another way, and that faith is seen in the one my asking is directed to. Again, with the same, I'm still with this analogy that Jesus is using. Not only is there a track record established, but they are trustworthy to the child. They are also a father and a mother. Let's look into this picture. Can you imagine with me that the mother and this father who is being addressed with this example, can you imagine that they love this child? Can you think about that? They love this child. They have properly told him this again and again. Through this child's life, they have probably affirmed it in many different ways, protecting him, making sure that he is well fed, that he's well dressed, that he's more or less socially fit. They have not been perfect. They've not been perfect. Sometimes in anger and frustration as parents, they have probably lashed out at this child. They have said something that they regretted. They have probably been more harsh at times than they should have been. But all in all, this child is loved by his father and or his mother. The very nature of a father and a mother is taking responsibility for the welfare of their children. Sure, there are mothers and fathers who do not do a good job of that. But this average father who's being addressed, this average mother who might be being addressed in this, they've been good. And in the mind of this child, I trust them. I trust them. I know I can go to them with anything and I can ask. They may not be able to do everything I ask, but I know that if they are able, if it is in their power to do so, they will move heaven and earth to make it happen for me. There is faith here in the one that they are asking. I know if I ask for bread, there's a good chance that something like bread will come my way. So, again, asking bears witness to their faith. The third thing that we see in their faith is that their faith is that the answer will be good. This might be a tougher one to swallow. But based on the track record and based on the fact that the child trusts them, the answer will be good. The son asks for bread. He asks for fish. The mother or the father may not have bread, and they may not have any fish. Does that mean that they substitute A stone for bread? Well, we've got no bread, so how about this stone? Does that mean that if they have no fish, oh, man, we don't have any fish. How about this snake? Well, maybe in some cultures that might be a good thing, right? Roasted on a spit, some snake. How about that, huh? That's not the point that Jesus is making. Just to clarify, okay? We're talking a live snake here, okay? Probably a venomous one, whatever. But no, the point is that if we don't have that, we'll find something else. And whatever it'll be good. Maybe some fruit or vegetable, maybe some other kind of meat if it's available, some other kind of carb or protein product, whatever it is. Whatever it will still be good. That's the point. It's not ridiculous, it's not a joke, and it's not going to be harmful. And so Jesus is describing a typical everyday scenario. The disciples get it. I think by the looks on your faces that you get it. We get it, right? And then he brings the hammer down. Of course, in a very good way here, okay? If you then, Jesus says, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you can underline this in your Bibles, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, Jesus is not calling them out for being evil. He's just acknowledging the fact that as humans, we don't always get it right. We do make mistakes. We sin. We hurt people. We do stuff that is just sometimes wrong. It's evil. In fact, we might get it wrong more than we should. But even so, as humans, we still do get it right sometimes. Yeah, we can be thankful for that. Sometimes we do get it right. And it's enough to know that if our son asks for bread, that we don't give him a stone. Like, that would be cruel. That'd be evil. We wouldn't do it. Now, you might do that as a joke, but you'd be very clear that, ha, 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 this is a stone. But you wouldn't seriously pull out a stone if your kid asked you for bread. Or you wouldn't grab a live snake and say, ha, 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 you wanted fish here, eat this. No, of course not. And we're evil. We're broken. How much more then, if we would not do that, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus tells his disciples, he tells his followers, he's telling us this morning, those of us who feel like we do not have what it takes, those of us who feel like we are under-resourced, those of us who feel overwhelmed with life, those of us who feel discouraged, those of us who feel weighed down with stuff, those of us who feel broken, those of us who are hungry, who are thirsty, Jesus says, go ahead, ask your Father in heaven. He will give good gifts to those who ask him. Asking bears witness to our faith. Let me take you through those three thoughts again about faith. So faith, we have faith in a relationship. As we consider how much more our Father in heaven, we can be comfortable in the relationship. He is a good, good Father. There's no need to be ashamed. No reason to be afraid. In 1 John, it talks about, it describes us as how blessed, how wonderful it is to be called the children of God. There is a sense that there is complete, free, and open access to the Father. No need to be ashamed. We can have faith in the relationship that our Father in heaven is approachable. He is not hidden. He is not far away. He is not distant. But he is among us. He is approachable. He is able to hear us, and he knows our hearts. He hears us when we pray. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers we are dust. Friends, we can have faith in that relationship because he knows that we are dust. And he loves us still. Oh, isn't that an amazing thing to know? That our Father in heaven knows us and he loves us. He is completely approachable. Asking bears witness to our faith. We can have faith in that relationship. God is our Father. Faith is also in the one my asking is directed to. And so the track record of our Father in heaven is that he is approachable. And so in the same way, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts if you ask him? I think of the character of the father in the story of the lost son. The story where the son goes off and squanders his father's wealth, his inheritance, and squanders it. And then while he's in the far-off country, he comes to his senses and he thinks to himself, my father's servants have it much better than I do. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to ask if I can become a servant. The crazy thing about this story is that the father really had no reason whatsoever to be interested anymore in his son because his son had wished him to be dead. That's what it means when you ask for your inheritance up front. It's like you're saying, Mom, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want what's mine now. And yet this father, the picture we have of this father in this parable of the lost son is a father. He doesn't go running after his son. He's not just looking all over the place for him and saying, oh, please come home. Please, 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 please. Oh, please, please, please. No, we don't have that picture of a father. But we have the picture of a father who is standing maybe at his gate. Maybe he goes out every day with a longing. Oh, will my son come home today? And then one day as he's out there standing at the gate, he sees off, it says in Luke 15, you can read the story that says, while he was still far off, meaning this father was there looking, while he was far off, his father saw him. And he went to him. And before he could get the words out and say, Father, I'm sorry, help me. I want to just be one of your servants. His father said, come quickly. Clean him up, put a coat on him, a robe on him, a ring on him. We're going to have a feast. We're going to celebrate because my son who was lost has been found. That's the heart of our Father. That is the faith in the one our asking is directed to. The character of the Father is one who longs for his people. He loves us. And then we can also know this, that there is a faith that the answer is good. Again, this we might have trouble with this one. Because sometimes we ask for something very specific, like bread, and the answer is something else. And yet, asking bears witness to our faith and our faith that the answer is good. What does it say? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Sometimes things happen that make no sense to us. It hurts, it's hard, it's difficult. And yet, the Father calls it good. And so we will trust him still. A few weeks ago, shared it in this church how a young girl had cancer and we prayed for her while she was alive and in our prayer meeting. And that next day she passed away. She was a student here at the school. And then we went to her celebration of life a few days later. And then there was also a celebration of her life here at the school. And throughout each one of those different gatherings with students and with her parents and with friends, I'm thinking and I'm saying in my heart, this is not good. This is wrong. This hurts. This is sad. This is messed up. When somebody with so much to live for is stricken with a disease like cancer and they lose their life, this hurts, God. We've asked you for healing. We've asked you to intervene. We've asked you for something better. It hurts. And yet, we asked and we continue to ask now for their family, for the mom and dad and for the friends. And we have faith. And our asking bears witness to our faith and our faith that the answer is good. Because we don't know everything. And there is a sense of trusting, even when it doesn't feel good. Even when the answer and the way things develop and take shape in our lives don't feel like, well, that's not what I asked for. We have faith that our Father gives good gifts. He knows. I find it interesting in this little thing that Jesus talks about. He talks about the parent who asks for bread or the son who asks for bread. It doesn't say that the parent actually gives bread. It doesn't actually say that that Father will even bring bread, specifically that answer. But he says, no, you who know what good to give to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know to give good gifts? And so our faith and our asking, bearing witness to faith, is that we trust that the answer is good. I started out this morning talking about the normalness of asking and being asked for something, receiving it. The normalness of seeking out something and finding it. The normalness of knocking on a door or making a phone call and having that door opened and the call answered. Out of the normalness of life, we are encouraged this morning to approach our Father in heaven in the same way. And in so doing, we bear witness to our faith. What might this message be to you as an individual? I think this is an encouragement to me, to each one of us, to not just be, to not just exist, not just to go through the motions of life and say, oh, well, that's how it is. That's what it is. But the encouragement to me and to you as individuals is for us to keep pressing in, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking on that door, to recognize I am under-resourced. I do not have what it takes to face this task, to face this challenge, to meet this need, to be the parent, to be the teacher, to be the worker, to be the leader, to be the kind of person that I feel like God is calling me to be. I do not have what it takes. And then, out of that normalness and out of that sense, to know that I can ask God, ask the Father. You may feel like there is just too much going on and you can't take much more. You may feel like you don't have a lot of faith, that what you have is weak. But when you ask, here's the line, underline it. When you ask, you bear witness to faith. Simply by continuing to press in, continuing to ask, continuing to seek, continuing to knock, you bear witness that there is something more going on in your life. And that something more is, I have faith. I have faith in God. And I think there's a message here to our church family as well. As King's Community Church, I think the message is that we are not just to be here as a church just for the sake of being here. Just to be a church, just to exist. But I think the message is more that we are encouraged to keep pressing in for God to move among us, for God to do something special here among us, for God to do something that is beyond what we can even imagine right now, but to see and to recognize that God wants to use us as a church community to break into our community with His love, that He wants to use each one of us knit together in community for His glory, and that as we continue to ask, as we continue to seek, as we continue to knock, we are saying we have faith that God our Father will give good gifts to His children. We are not just here, but we are still asking. We are still seeking. We are still knocking. We are pursuing God together, and we are seeing lives transformed because that's who God has called us to be. Asking bears witness to our faith. Asking bears witness to our faith. So ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. And when you ask, you will receive. When you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door will be opened up to you. Amen.